Hey, fellow Warzone listeners. My name is Zach Camps. If I'm not golfing or slinging cans of Monster, I'm usually thinking about Dynasty Fantasy Football. A couple months back, I joined the Patreon just to take my Dynasty passion to the next level. And I'll tell you what, well, let's just say there's writer downers for days in the Patreon. As a member, you get access to the bonus pod where the guys take the filter off and talk about a wide variety of topics that maybe they won't cover on the normal show. You also get access to Memphis and Jerry for one-on-one advice, personal dynasty dilemmas. They'll tackle them for you, help you out with it. You just don't get that anywhere else. But I'd say my favorite part about the Patreon is the group chat. Tell you what, these guys are some excellent minds, tons of fun. The fire in there is amazing. Great platform to post trade questions, debate rookie values, share insight, interact with some cool people from across the globe. You know, shout out to those guys in Australia. They're blowing my phone up all the time. You know, the best part is there's no Twitter trolls or Facebook trolls arguing about stuff they don't know anything about. So if you want to enjoy your Dynasty experience even more, win those championships, pause the podcast right now, sign up, and you can thank me later in the group chat.
Well, hello, neighbors, and welcome to the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. It is your host. It is Memphis. You can follow me and follow along on Twitter at DWZ. Memphis. As long as Twitter will let me do the Periscope, we will stream this show live on my Twitter handle. We'll be recording on Wednesdays or Thursday nights. Right now, during the still in-season football games, we're doing our Big Bet podcast with game breakdowns, lines, totals, player props, things like that. And on Thursdays, we'll be doing some contractors. And tonight, I have got a guest. His name is Chad. Now, Chad is going to share with us his, I think it's a 12 team. I know it's a super flex and I know it's a PPR tight end premium league. I'm not sure the number of owners. I think it's 10. We'll ask Chad here in just a minute. Want to make sure to let you know that we are live on YouTube and you can follow along on YouTube. You'll never have to guess if this show's recording on Wednesday. Is it recording on Thursday? Because it will be changing in February and you'll never miss any of the Dynasty Warzone content. We have been doing rookies on Monday, positional rankings on Tuesday, gambling on Wednesday, contracting on Thursday, DFS on Saturday, a lot going on, and it's only just starting. So I'm not going to waste any more time promoting. If you want to get a hold of me, you can do it at DWZ Memphis on Twitter, or if you're not a social media person, you can get me on email. You can just email dynastywarzone@gmail.com. Got a couple people coming up on the contractor that will have gotten a hold of me via email. So there's plenty of ways to get a hold of me, but I will tell you things are filling up quick. I am booked through, I want to say the 21st of February, and I'll be doing this all the way up through July. So if you want to get in there, get in there. And last thing to promote, Patreon, patreon.com/DynastyWarzone. We'll be in the middle of startup season. We'll be starting Patreons 8 and 9. We've got Devi. We've got pay leagues. We've got free leagues. All the owners in the pay leagues got paid within a week. And that's a lot of people to get a hold of, as I am not only the guy who runs them, I'm the guy who admins them. So a lot going on over at Dynasty Warzone's Patreon. And most importantly, you're welcome. It's a group of like-minded Dynasty aficionados, and it is going all day. We have now splintered, easy for me to say, we have now splintered off into a separate rookie chat for those interested. We have a gambling chat for those that are interested, and we just have the main Dynasty chat. Little something for everybody. Prices have not went up. It's pretty affordable. If you have any questions, DM me at DWZ Memphis. Now, I've made this poor man. You see him sitting on what looks to be his front or back porch. Hopefully, the weather's nicer there for you than it is for me. But I am going to welcome to the show Mr. Chad Mendoza. Chad, first of all, welcome to the show. And second of all, where are you dialing in from?
Oh, thanks for having me on, Memphis. I'm in Central Texas, about an hour east of Austin. The weather's not too great out here. It's pouring, but you know, under the shelter, it's not too bad.
So what's the temperature there? So I was driving home for Indiana in January. It's pretty respectable. I'd say it's about 35, 36 degrees. And I'm wearing the quarter zip. I just walked in the door not too long ago. I had my coat. Yeah. I just carried it in. What's the current temperature there in the great state of Texas?
It's about 57 degrees right now, 58 degrees.
Not too bad. Looks like you got like a light jacket on.
Yeah. Yep.
Nice. Well, I think you are the first ever in all the podcasts that I've done, many years of podcasting here on both the Dynasty Happy Hour feed and the Dynasty Warzone feed. I think you're the first outdoor guest. So that's pretty cool. Always good to be a first in a good way. And man, I love the great state of Texas. My father's family, that side of the family was from Tennessee, but if I could have picked any state to have hailed from as a younger man, it would have been Texas. First of all, you guys have no state income tax, and I can't figure out why more. I know you pay more in sales tax, but that's only if you buy stuff. I can't figure out why more professional athletes wouldn't want to like be free agents in like Dallas and Houston and even San Antonio for basketball. It's like, it's not a lot, but like if your state income tax, this is for easy math, is 5%. Well, if you make $10 million a year, 5% is 500 grand. I'm never in my life going to have so much money that 500 grand doesn't mean enough. No, I can't make it up somewhere else. So enough about geography and location. Let's get into your team. Before we do that, was it a 10-man or a 12-man?
This is a 12-man, a 12-owner league. Yep.
Okay, because I hate to say man because, it's not politically correct in 2021. And we have a lot of, not a lot, but we have a good number of female patrons in our Dynasty Warzone patron league. So, and one of them is my arch nemesis, Whitney, if you're listening, I've not forgotten you for one second. But it's a good thing. And, you know, we're trying to transition. It's old hat. I mean, I've been playing Dynasty for, I don't even want to say how long, well into double digit years. Let's just say that. And I'm used to saying guys, I'm used to saying owner. Now I'm just trying to say GM or how many people, you know, just trying to clean it up in 2021, being better than we were before. So 12 GMs in this league. Now are just like college friends, high school friends, work friends. What kind of internet friends? What's the mix of this group?
So this group, I actually only know one guy personally in it. I just picked up it as an orphan last offseason. It's mostly guys that are in the military. Pretty good guys so far, pretty active league and everything. It's been enjoyable.
Well, that is awesome. First of all, thank you to all those guys and everyone who serves in our great United States Armed Forces. They allow us to talk about things like Dynasty Fantasy Football and live a very good life. So thank you for your service. On behalf of the entire crew. Well, man, that's awesome. I love it. Active League. That is the number one, I hate to say a selling feature, but that's the number one request. Literally the minute I bring someone on board the Dynasty Warzone Patreon, the first request is how do I get into the group chat? How do I get into this group chat? And like today at work, some of the guys were going crazy and literally it was like 84 messages in an hour, which is awesome. And that's the kind of leagues you want to be in. You play Dynasty Fantasy Football to be in a year-round league, so a good mix of GMs in this league. Now, are they all like that? Are some more active than others? I would assume that's the case. Probably some only pop around during your rookie draft, maybe the start of the season, and then some of them go MIA.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it is. We have about six or seven guys that are like pretty active. Seems like year-round. I haven't been in it that long, but since last off season, they've been pretty active. About four guys that they're pretty active during the season, but it seems like last off season and, you know, since kind of playoffs have kicked off, they've been kind of quiet. So,
That's something that I recommend. And for those of you listening here on the podcast or watching with us live on YouTube, is that if you're looking to get deals done in your average dynasty league, you've really got about 2.5 more weeks, because the minute the confetti hits the ground on the Super Bowl will be the minute that most of your leagues dry up until around mid-April, as the NFL draft is really, really kicking in. Now, for those of you fortunate enough to be in a super active league, Like I'm a member of the Goat Leagues with JD and Dan over at the Goat District. It's nonstop. I mean, we have literally been going for almost 5 years straight with at least one message in the group chat every day with guys talking football. So that's the upside. The downside is those crickets. So my advice to you as a dynasty GM is you can be the catalyst in your league. I said this last season during the contractor, and it bears repeating. You can be the one. You know, you're the one who can say, hey, player X is on the trading block, or hey, I'm looking for a wide receiver, or hey, I'm looking for a running back. Hey, I've got draft picks for sale. Just anything. Hey, anybody, you know, you see a tweet from Adam Schefter. Today, as Chad and I are recording this show, the Eagles hired Nick Sirianni of the Indianapolis Colts, formerly the OC. That's a great move for your group chat, guys, is just retweet a tweet. Hey, guys, what do you think about this for dynasty values? Just always give them something to talk about. And you know what? You may get one of those tweets a week. And that one tweet a week may give you one day of conversation. But it at least stirs the mindset of your league to think, hey, you know what? There is a lot going on. Hey, I am going to check out some rosters. And I am going to check in on my team. So you could be the change that you want to see in the world. So what I'm going to do is I am going to pull up the starting lineup of Chad's roster, the one that we're going to look at, and I'm going to share that with you on YouTube. So that's going to be the big importance of following along at Dynasty Warzone on YouTube. If you're a visual person and you want to see it, awesome. If you don't, feel free to get a pen and paper and write down everything Chad and I talk about. There's no copyright laws on what we're talking about from, so we're happy to share. But if you want the easy route, YouTube, Dynasty Warzone on YouTube. So here we go. I'm going to share my screen. So this is something new for me personally this year with the show, is I'm trying to do a better job of creating a better overall visual presentation. So here you go. If you're watching along on YouTube, I got it cleaned up, or watching along on Twitter at DWZ Memphis, you can now see my man's starting lineup. Now, remember, this is an orphan that he took over. So we're going to look at the starters. We'll start with the quarterback position because we can see two of the three that you own. So you see Matthew Stafford. I've always liked Matthew Stafford. He used to be a 5,000, 4,500-yard passing quarterback, 20-plus TDs, and it just seems like he's fallen on hard times the last couple of years. And Jameis Winston, and the one quarterback you can't see in this particular slide, although I can pull it up, is my man, Dwayne Haskins. So, Chad, let's talk quarterbacks on this roster. Did you ever have any different quarterbacks on this roster? Was this the quarterback group you inherited? Let's talk QBs, man.
Yeah, That's what I've had since I took it over. I have made a decent amount of trades, but yeah, as far as the quarterback position goes, what's there is what I started with.
All right. Well, you do have Matthew Stafford, and the one thing, so I'm going to try to weave this thing together as best we can while sharing as many of the pictures as possible. So he does have Matthew Stafford. He does have Jameis Winston. The one thing that I'm very fascinated with by Jameis Winston is at the end of that Saints game on Sunday, when the Saints lost to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Drew Brees looked over at Jameis Winston and says, "This is your team now." I found that to be interesting. I always hate to use the word interesting, but I found that like a things to make you go, why would he say that? Isn't it supposed to be Taysom Hill's team? So you could, if he winds up re-signing in Chicago, you could wind up with a nice little sneaky play. As we've seen Jameis post, you know, top five QB seasons, you know, within the past couple of years. And the Sean Payton offense there in New Orleans is going to be good. You're going to have playmakers. So that could wind up being a bonus. And then Dwayne Haskins. Dwayne Haskins is a guy right now that I don't mind if you want to throw a fourth or fifth round flyer on Dwayne Haskins now that he landed in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is going to be the kind of team that is always going to be drafted in like the 20s, the 20 picks, like, you know, picks 21 through 32, somewhere in there. And you're typically not going to get a quote-unquote franchise-changing quarterback in those range. Every once in a while, you can get lucky, but for the most part, that's not where you found him. And they have a little bit of knowledge in the way of rehabbing the image and the reputation of a spirited young man, ironically, from the state of Ohio, played his college ball in Ohio there in Pittsburgh. So what do you think about the Dwayne Haskins signing? Would you be willing to move him? What would it take for you to consider moving him now that you know he at least has the potential, because he's on the roster, to be the heir apparent to Big Ben?
I'm honestly in a lot of leagues, I went out and I bought Dwayne Haskins just because a lot of people were, you know, down on him before the season began, and, you know, didn't pay anything crazy for him, maybe a, you know, mid to late second, somewhere in that range, to, I guess, kind of take a risk and see if he could turn things around a little bit over there in Washington. But, you know, since he's made the move, or since he just got signed over to Pittsburgh, I mean, the talent is still there. You know, if he can get his head together and, you know, really tighten things up, I don't see why he couldn't be the guy after Ben leaves. So, I mean, maybe a third, maybe a I'm not quite sure, honestly. He's a tough one. He's a tough one.
For me, it's a cost benefit analysis. It's really that simple. I am looking to throw third. I would hate to pay a third, especially like a high third in a super flex tight end premium. But I would love to throw like around a 307, 308 or later. You know, this is the thing. You don't really want to do too much today. What you want to do is you want to go into your phone, go into your calendar, and set a note about a month from now. About a month from now is the combine or whatever they're doing this year with the pro days and stuff, which kind of sucks because I liked having the pro combine here in Indianapolis. But set a calendar reminder a month from now. Go inquire about Dwayne Haskins. You know, rookie fever will start kicking in. More podcasts, more shows will be doing rookie content. And they'll forget that he's now the backup in Pittsburgh, or it won't mean as much. And just offer him your 401 or your 311. Because here's the thing, I'm not selling. If you want to give me a mid-second for him right now, fine. But unless you're willing to give that right now, it may not be a great track, but at least I have an inside track that if he doesn't screw this up with laziness and strippers, because he has a problem with both, then he could be the heir apparent to one of the greatest, and I hate the Steelers, but I got to be honest, one of the greatest franchises in the league. You know, you talk about one of the best GMs in the league in Kevin Colbert. You talk about one of the best head coaches in the league in Mike Tomlin. They constantly surround that quarterback with good weapons, a good offensive line. I think they're going to address the running game. And let's be honest, when Big Ben's contract runs out in 2021, they're not going to run out to re-sign him. So if he minds his manners, he shows stuff in practice, he picks up the offense, he works well, he has the inside track. So if I got him, I'm keeping him. And if not, I'm setting that calendar reminder in about a month to go out and start lowballing people, or I'm getting him as a throw-in in a different deal. You know, that's where I'm going. So I like your quarterback room. Let's talk running backs real quick, because you got a couple of the young guns, a couple of guys that have really set the dynasty world on fire. Let's start with your two starters as I'm cruising through your roster. You have Antonio Gibson and J.K. Dobbins. So let me ask you this. Let me put you on the spot right away. First question. Of those two, which do you prefer more? Who do you like more? You they may not be better. They might not be higher ranked, but it doesn't matter. Who do you like more?
I would prefer to have J.K. Dobbins. You know, he'd be the one that I'd be more hesitant to give up. But there is also, you know, that kind of fear of Gus Edwards, because he's, you know, he kind of kicked it on this season and played fairly well. You know, Gibson, unless they bring somebody in, I don't see McKissick as a long-term threat to him. So, I mean, you know, he has the job at this point. So, you know, he has that going for him, but I still kind of lean J.K. Dobbins, just because that offense is so, you know, so much geared towards the running game. And I feel like he's going to be pretty consistent season to season. And they both should get, you know, a fair amount of targets, as well. Maybe Gibson, will get a little bit more, but, I lean J.K.
Okay, well, the reason why I ask is that I actually prefer Antonio Gibson, and it's because Baltimore throws the ball to the running back position the least in the NFL, and the least by a pretty significant margin. And it's Graham Barfield. I remember this stat because it hit me like a ton of bricks in the face. A target is worth 2.8 times more fantasy points than a rushing attempt. And I didn't have time to pull it up, and I'm not going to try to operate the camera, the podcast, and help this man with his roster and try to do some stat mining. But the amount of targets that J.K. Dobbins, so I do a lot of prop betting. I live in a state with legalized sports gambling. Thank you, state of Indiana. And, you know, a lot of the J.K. Dobbins, you know, receiving props have been over 1.5. And you would think, man, that's a slam dunk. But then you go into his card, his player card, his stat card. To get two receptions in a game for him is a lot. And for the running backs to combine for 3 or 4 is a lot. Now, it's going to come down to who Washington decides to be the permanent fix at the quarterback position as Haskins is gone. I don't know how on the earth you could try to go into 2021 with Alex Smith and his, you know, leg. So they may dabble in the free agent market. They may trade up for a rookie. But because of that, and I know Scott Turner. The Scott Turner is the son of Norv Turner. And Norv Turner and Scott Turner, you can even check Scott Turner when he was in Carolina with Christian McCaffrey. They use bell cows in the Turner family. And if they use Antonio Gibson as a bell cow, and he gets more of that receiving work that J.D. McKissic got, and more of those between the tackles touches that Peyton Barber got, and they clean up that running back room by one, I think you've got a true stud in Antonio Gibson. And I want to tie this back to your quarterback position. I don't know that it would get it done, but I know that starting very soon, if it hasn't already, you're going to hear a lot of buzz around J.K. Dobbins. And I know some people didn't love the hire of Brandon Staley as the new head coach with the LA Chargers. Now, I know this is going to become it's probably going to make people not like me, but I'm just going to be honest. I can always get more running backs, but getting young stud quarterbacks is where it's at for me. Me personally, I'm just going to throw it out there. I'm going to look to see who owns Justin Herbert, and I'm going to offer J.K. Dobbins straight up for Justin Herbert. Just to see what the temperature of the room is there. And you have a great alibi for inquiring. You can say, hey, dude, you know what? Everybody likes J.K. Dobbins right now. He's super hot. He's on a great rushing offense. And as you can tell, Jameis Winston is my QB too, so I'm just trying to make some moves. They don't necessarily know that you have to be targeting him specifically, but that might spark a conversation. They may say, well, that's not enough for Justin Herbert. We're going to talk about your rookie picks here in a minute. Would that be a conversation you'd be willing to entertain?
Yeah. I actually, now that I think about it, I did actually acquire Gibson and Jameis Winston. I said I didn't trade for any quarterbacks, but I did acquire them through a trade. I think I got them for what turned out to be like the 109 or something. So I was, you know, pretty happy to get that done. And, you know, nobody was really willing to part with any quarterbacks. And especially because this is a 6-point TD league, passing touchdown league. So it's one of those things where, you know, I figured I would try to get as much value as I possibly can. And then, yeah, potentially try to ship some of these guys off for quarterbacks if I didn't have the draft capital at the end of the season to get one that I thought was, you know, a good prospect.
Yeah, I like that mindset, man, because I don't want to be mean to the running back connoisseur that partakes in the Dynasty Happy Hour family of podcasts. But, man, I don't want to say they're a dime a dozen, especially good young ones like J.K. Dobbins. But look at the churn. I mean, you know, people are starting to, you know, as recently as 2016, as crazy as that is to say, that was half a decade ago. You know, you're going to start to see the downward descent of production of Derrick Henry, of Ezekiel Elliott. You know, you're eventually that fabled class of 2017, Kamara, Cook, Mixon. You know, they're going into year 5 in their respective in careers. And there'll always be more running backs. But as my good friend Izzy Elkafas of the Dynasty Trade Calculator says, there's never a cheaper time to acquire quarterbacks than there is during your rookie draft. And in your rookie draft, let's look at your draft picks real quick. You have quite a few. Now you have the 101, you have the 103, and the 112. Now, and the is that the 102? You have the 102, 103, 123?
Yes, yep.
Oh my goodness. Well, then maybe this is what it would come down to for me. You now, as a man with a family that runs the Tennessee and as a man who's in the state of Texas, you will understand when I say you are in the catbird seat, my friend. You are in a great position because you just kind of get a layback a little bit. Obviously, you're going – I got to assume you're going Trevor Lawrence 101. It's yeah. A no, even though he's a Jag.
I may just wait till 103 to get him. Just
just to screw up the consensus ADP over at Sleeper.
Yeah, and just so that 104 can hope a little bit until we get there.
The old dream crusher. I love it. I love it. Yeah, you know, I would look around. See, this is a great spot to be in because you're going to have your choice of, obviously, you're going to go T-Law, but then you can look around and you can say, hey, do I like where Justin Fields lands? Or do I like where Zach Wilson lands? Maybe you take all three. Maybe you move Matthew Stafford. Maybe you draft two of the quarterbacks and you take the running back that you like better. Maybe it's Najee Harris. Maybe it's Travis Etienne. But with a couple of nice young running backs, which everybody always covets, those nice young running backs, and that many high draft picks, man, you are going to be able to do this. And then on top of all of that, you have Matthew Stafford, who if he winds up with the Indianapolis Colts, that's been a preferred destination for him. I think he would obviously love to go there. Not a huge move for him and his family. He's already been used to the Midwest for, believe it or not, 12 years, I think I heard the other day. And, that would drive up his value in Dynasty. So you're going to have a lot of nice options. You have good young running backs, but you don't have a lot of them because once you get back to the rest of your running backs, man, it's LaMichael Perine. He's all but going to get ousted in New York with the Jets having all those, you know, beautiful draft picks there in the Big Apple. Salvan Ahmed there in Miami, kind of the backup. And that's really the end of your running back room. You may have to consider going just one quarterback and two running backs in this class just to build up some depth and maybe trade down the road for that third quarterback later. Are these all things that you've thought about, or would you consider that?
Yeah, my options are pretty open right now. Of course, you know, as we get closer to the combine, or I guess there's not going to be a combine, but as we get closer to the draft and everything, I'm definitely going to be open to, you know, seeing not only what fits the roster, but just how draft crazy these guys get because I haven't been around them. Sitting there and making the pick, I have no problem with, and whether that's a quarterback or running back, or, you know, maybe picking up some, you know, vets and letting these guys take the risk of picking some of these rookies.
Well, you got the 112 as well. So you have four first round picks in total, and we're going to transition to your wide receiver group. Now you have some of my personal favorites. You have AJ Brown, who I don't remember. We just did our staff rankings over on Monday night's Dynasty Warzone, and I know I've got him inside my top five. And I think the world of him. There is a slight concern that Arthur Smith, the OC, is leaving and what's the offense going to look like with a new OC. But I got to think any OC with any brains in their head is going to lean on their tremendous young wide receiver, AJ Brown. Antonio Brown's not young or not a good citizen, at least not at this point that we can prove. But I love AJ Brown. And then DJ Moore, a personal favorite. And here's what I love about DJ Moore. His stock was so deflated during the regular season. And this man had the quietest, it was like 1187, I believe. We're going to round. We round here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor. My man had the quietest 1,200-yard season I think I can recall. And then T. Higgins. You know, I've been recommending to everyone that I interact with on Twitter, our patron group, myself. I'm scooping up T. Higgins everywhere. That team in Cincinnati, they retained head coach Zach Taylor, And that team was well on the way to leading the league in passing attempts. And who's going to benefit from that? T. Higgins. Who's probably going to leave in free agency? A.J. Brown. There's going to be a youth movement. They're going to fix the offensive line. They're going to get Joe Mixon back. And this offense, I think there are going to be a lot of shootouts in the AFC North in a very, very short time. So, and then you got a couple other guys I'm a little bit more lukewarm on than most. Marquise Brown. Now, if this was a best ball league, two thumbs up. But what I do like about guys like Marquise Brown, guys like Mecole Hardman, guys like that, even though they're small and not volume monsters, if they have a week, you win your week. And I love plugging those guys in on those weeks where maybe I'm an underdog against my opponent and plugging him in there to give me that that boom upside. So how did you acquire these running back? I mean, not excuse me, these wide receivers, three young studs and a couple of maybes.
Yeah, I drafted T. Higgins, and A.J. Brown was on the roster when I acquired it. And DJ Moore, I traded for, I actually sent, before his, plague of injuries happened, I sent, Joe Mixon over to another guy in the league. And it turned out the pick turned out to be the 101 and I got DJ Moore.
My goodness. That's the greatest thing I've heard in a long, long, long time. But that's my point though. But see, but that's one of those things. That's where you highlight that owner's name. You highlight that owner's name. You keep a little bit of a book, you keep some notes and you write down this owner really values running backs so that when he needs a running back next time, he's going back. You know, you're going back to that well until that well dries up and you can do it. But man, what a great young, roster of wide receivers. You got AJ Brown, who statistically, going back to when he first started, I think it's 19 games or maybe it's 22 games, but since he took over, only like Patrick Mahomes and Deshaun Watson have been more productive over that 20 some odd game stretch than Ryan Tannehill. So AJ Brown's got a more than serviceable quarterback. You got DJ Moore, who could get a quarterback upgrade. I know a lot of people in the industry love Teddy Two Gloves, and he's a nice young man. Seems to be he's like the version of Alex Smith for the Carolina Panthers. Less injured. He had a pretty bad knee injury in his own right, but just a guy who's kind of going to be a placeholder. And you know, if they upgrade that offense with Joe Brady, who ended up staying, you have head coach Matt Rhule. Man, you plug in a Trey Lance or a Zach Wilson, if a Justin Fields were to fall there, now you've got a passing game in Carolina that could go nuclear. And the beautiful part about Teddy Bridgewater, the beautiful part about Teddy B, if they were to wind up with a Trey Lance, he is the perfect Alex Smith to a young quarterback, Patrick Mahomes. Hey, man, we're going to let Teddy run this thing in 2021. He's a vet. He's a pro. He's a gentleman. And he's going to be your guide. Stay on his hip. Learn as much as you can. And even if you get Teddy B, DJ Moore just had 1,200 yards with Teddy B. It's not the greatest thing in the world for DJ Moore, but it's not the worst. Jerry Jeudy, I'll ask you, man, how are you feeling about Jerry Jeudy? I would have loved to have seen him go to a better offense. I'm just not sure what the blue hell's going on in Denver.
Yeah, I am a huge Jerry Jeudy fan. I mean, in college, you know, I loved him. I thought he was a better prospect than CeeDee Lamb. But I kind of gravitate towards those like Calvin Ridley, you know, style players who, you know, can just get separation based on pure route running and just, you know, their kind of, you know, the intangibles that they have coming out. I just love it. But I think Drew Lock is a dud. They're going to have to find something else at quarterback. I don't think he's as talented. When last season when he was had a decent string of games, it just seemed like the offense was really simplistic and they were kind of feeding him everything. And this year when they kind of ramped it up a little bit, I don't really think he stepped up to the plate. So that consistency really dropped off for him.
You know what I was, and you got to give young quarterbacks a pass, not a complete pass, but somewhat of a pass. In that this COVID shortened year, he did get a new offensive coordinator, but that's the good and the bad. The bad is that he, you know, the good thing is that it was the COVID offseason. It wasn't quite normal, but the bad is that his offensive coordinator in Pat Shurmur is a guy who's known to get the most out of mediocre quarterbacks. Case Keenum had a career year under Shurmur. Daniel Jones had a much better rookie year than sophomore year with Pat Shurmur. And that's reason for pause, but you have to hope that a full, somewhat more normal offseason will help Jerry Jeudy and the offense. And that offense could be really good. They're going to get Cortland Sutton back. You've got Jerry Jeudy. You've got Noah Fant. So you've got the pieces, and you're in a division. The Raiders have got a pretty good offense. Raiders were a top 10 offense. You got the Chiefs, who are a top offense. And then we have the Chargers, which I think is well on the way to being a top offense. So you add that up, that's six games a year that you know Denver's going to be in the mix. And when you're so strong at the top of your wide receiver group with Moore and Brown, man, you can afford to bring along a Jerry Jeudy and see what happens. A couple other things that you have. I know you have Christian Kirk. I'm not really a Kirk guy, but you do have a guy. I hate to give away part of the stuff for free, but Gabriel Davis was on my top six offseason low-cost buys on my Patreon podcast on Monday. You see a little bit of a connection with Josh Allen. We know this is a high-flying offense. You know Brian Daboll is going to be there as the OC in 2021 as all the head coaching jobs are drying up. And John Brown's 31 years old. They can save $8 million by cutting him. And if that allows a guy like Gabriel Davis to really step up, that could be a really nice find. Plus, you have the 112, and this is a tight end premium. This is a super flex. So you have to assume that in this format, based on the owners, you said these guys like quarterbacks. Is that a correct statement?
Yeah, very much so.
Yeah, so there you go. So you're going to have at least four quarterbacks go in those top few picks. You got to afield Fields, Lance, Wilson, obviously T-Law, and then maybe Mac Jones slides in there in those top 10 picks if he lands into a spot. I've heard Mac Jones going as high as 15 overall to the Patriots, and someone's going to want him. Someone's going to take him. So then you have five potential quarterbacks. We have two running backs that we all really like, right? Travis Etienne and Najee Harris. We have the stud tight end in a tight end premium league in Kyle Pitts, right? So there's eight picks. Well, you have another pick at 112, and look at all the stud wide receivers in this class. We've not even talked wide receiver. You're going to have a Jamar Chase. You're going to have a Devonta Smith. You're going to have a Jalen Waddle, a Rondale Moore, a Bateman, and the list goes on and on and on. You're going to be able, if you want to, you're going to be able to add one more young stud wide receiver to this group at that 112. And then I believe you had some second-round picks in there as well. You have the 202 and the 212. So, man, you're really going to be able to layer on. Dude, this is a team that – if you get that quarterback group figured out, man, you are going to be able to be very competitive in this league for a long time. You've also got two 2023 firsts, as well as your full complement of picks in 2022. Man, you are built for the long term. What are your short-term and long-term goals before I get you out of here?
Yeah, so I guess it really just depends on I feel like this roster can go a lot of different directions. I think I have pieces that can compete in the short term, but, you know, are nice to have and carry on for the long term. Should be good players for a long time. So I was with the amount of picks that I have, I was really just going to go into this draft very open-minded and say, okay, you know, what kind of offers am I going to get? What are the players that are available? And just see, you know, not force it, but if people did get really draft crazy and I would be able to put myself in a position to compete this year by trading some of those picks away, that would be fine. Or if I just stuck with the picks and see who I can get, you know, where I have them now, then, you know, that's it too. But just taking what's given to me is pretty much how I'm gonna go ahead with it.
Well, from my perspective, what I see is I see a very young, and we didn't talk about your tight ends yet. My apologies. You have my favorite tight end. And the only reason why he's more of a favorite tight end to me than Travis Kelce, and that is George Kittle, is A, he's George Kittle, and B, he's like 4 years younger than Travis Kelce. There's going to be more injury concern with George Kittle. You know, kind of like a young Gronk. Young Gronk played the game in such a way that was very conducive to getting injured. And George Kittle plays very much the same way. Maybe he gets a little bit less aggressive with age, but eventually that's going to pile up. That's my only concern. But, dude, in a tight end premium, to have one of the big three or four, and that's a blessing. You know, that to have Kittle or Kelce or Hockenson or Waller, to have one of those four, you kidding me? There's nothing more you can want. And, you know, you've got like a 212. Man, there's going to be – I mean, I could see a thing where maybe you go quarterback, and you see. I mean, I think you have it dead on. I think if you want this team to compete in 2021, you certainly have the pieces. DJ Moore, A.J. Brown, I mean, these wide receivers, George Kittle, you need two things. I think you need a solid QB1, which I think you're going to get in Trevor Lawrence. You've got a solid QB2 in Matt Stafford, and you would have to then get one of the running backs to be a regular contributor from this rookie class. And then much like everybody else, especially at the running back position, you're going to have to hang in there with injuries, and you're going to be patient because we all know that young running backs, see Taylor, Jonathan, you know, sometimes we get a little too bent out of shape. You know, one thing you could do with that 112, if you're not feeling it, is, you know, a guy that I'm going after is CEH. You know, maybe you package two picks and go get a Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I don't know that the 112 and the 202 would get it done, but you've also got that 2023 extra first in your hip pocket. Hey, you know, I'll give you 112 and a future first. You know, maybe that gets a deal done. You know, again, these guys get rookie fever because the Chiefs, we know we've talked about this as well on the Dynasty War Zone. The Chiefs have $16 million in cap debt, which means they're over by $16 million. And they have Le'Veon Bell, who's going to be leaving a free agency, and Darrell Williams. So it'll basically be CEH and whatever's left of Damian Williams after he comes back. So, man, there's a ton of moves you can make. I just I like your attitude about all this. You're just going to lay back. You're going to see what happens with the draft. The one thing I definitely recommend more than anything else is don't move a draft pick. Don't move a draft pick. Right now, unless you can maybe get like a veteran, like a third-year type guy. Again, I'm trying to avoid, especially on a roster this young, adding an Alvin Kamara, adding a Christian McCaffrey. You're looking to add the next Alvin Kamara. You're looking to add the next Christian McCaffrey so this roster matures together. Obviously, Matthew Stafford's an elder statesman as it relates to the rest of this group. But, man, I think you've done a good job rehabbing this thing and pulling this thing together. And I'm hoping to be a part of your rookie draft. I mean, when you're on the clock and, you know, the deals start flying in, I mean, you and I are obviously connected on GroupMe in many ways. And I'm hoping you reach out to me so we can talk about this draft as you're on the clock and people are trying to get your picks.
Yeah, I intend to. I appreciate, you know, all the help. And I'm definitely open to keeping that line of communication open and you know, seeing what we can do.
Oh, man, I think we have a championship. So the one thing, hashtag humble brag, first of all, my co-host from the Dynasty Warzone, Jerry, jumped in our chat here and said, Chad just came on to humble brag about the future of this team, laughing face emoji. I mean, here's the thing. I want to do a little humble bragging because we had Ryan on last week, or maybe it was two. No, it was last week. We had Ryan on last week, and he was a contractor guest last year who went on to win his championship. I'm really hoping that you can be the next one. I've got Michael coming up. He was on last year. He won a championship. That's what we're trying to do. You know, we do all this together. It's so much fun for me. I'll be honest, and my league mates will probably tell you that I've been somewhat of a quasi-turd myself. I mean, I do try to stay busy in the group chats, but I've been so excited and wanting to help other people with their dynasty rosters that to some degree I've ignored my own. It's like, they're good, that they're fine. I'll just go help Chad and I'll go help Ryan, because it's always like more interesting. It's like I love coaching baseball and helping baseball with my son now more than I ever did when I played. I never took it this seriously. I never took, you know, watching YouTube. Well, there was no YouTube video 100 years ago, but I didn't do all these extra coaching and things, but I love helping you, man. I love just having conversations. You're a very good dynasty owner. You don't need me, but I think everybody needs someone to talk to sometimes. I mean, hell, even Tiger Woods has a swing coach.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I think the thing with this team, why I kind of wanted to get on here is, you know, I really think this team's at kind of a pivotal crossroads where you can either ruin it or you could, you know, really build something special. And I'm definitely open to, you know, bouncing all ideas off of anybody I possibly can, make sure I get this thing right. Because I think, you know, if I make the right moves, I could definitely see it, seeing it be being a competitor for, you know, a number of years. So I'm definitely going to touch base.
Hey, man, I know you'll be around. We'll chat it up. Man, you've done a great job. And I look forward to having you back, man. Obviously, we'll stay in contact off of the podcast, but we'll have you back on next year this time. You know, much like we had Ryan on last year, I look forward to a follow-up, what you did with those draft picks. And I think those have been very popular shows. I know people, you know, it's kind of like watching a home improvement show, which is kind of the whole knockoff of The Contractor. I mean, what do you do? My wife watches these shows, and what do? I show up, I watch the first segment. I watch this dilapidated piece of crap these people bought. Not that this roster is a dilapidated piece of crap, but we have had those. But you want to see what they're starting with. Then I go fiddle about, because I don't care about Chip and Joanne and whatever, fellow Texans, and what all the other stuff they're doing. And then I show up for the last segment. All I want to know is where we're starting and how it ended. How we got there, maybe, sometimes not really. But you always want to know where you started and where we ended. So thank you for letting us start this with you, and look forward to having you back, man. But Chad's a good guy. Chad, you on social media? You want these people to talk to you?
No, I'm not. I try to stay off social media.
Good
as much
for
as
you. Look at the. If you're not on YouTube, you should be. Look at the wry smile on this dog's face. He knows what he's doing. He can find us on at DynastyWarzone@gmail.com. Well, Chad, man, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're a hard working man. You just got done first ever podcast guest on the back porch there in the great state of Texas. Well, man, listen, thank you so much for jumping on. His name is Chad. My name is Memphis. And remember, here at the Dynasty Happy Hour Contractor, the roster you have today is not a life sentence, guys. We can help you fix it. We can rebuild it, and we can make it a champion. But on behalf of Chad, I am Memphis. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, guys.
Hey guys, Nick Burnett here. Just wanted to kind of give some information on why I joined the Patreon, why I'm part of the Dynasty Warzone team. Downloaded the Dynasty Warzone podcast. It took one day. Joined the Patreon. Reached out to Memphis about a situation with one of my rosters. And the kind of feedback I got was, hey, Nick, why don't you give me a call? We went down my roster, and he helped me pull off a couple moves that put me ahead when I thought I was going to be in rebuild mode this year. And that's just part of what comes with the Patreon. Trade talks, just good interaction with guys that love fantasy football. Whether it's 10 o'clock at night or 3 o'clock in the morning, there's always going to be fantasy football talk, whether it's redraft, whether it's dynasty. I joined a couple leagues with the Patreon members, and it's the same thing. Even while we're drafting, we're still shooting ideas at each other. And if that sounds like something that you want to be a part of, pause the podcast now, join the Patreon, and join a great fantasy football group, but more like a fantasy football family.